this is one way we can fund it this year. It's going to be
The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I am excited about today. Couple things. Amen. First of all, we are able to be here this morning and worship the living God. We have the freedom to do that, and we're all in a comfortable place. We have air conditioning. We have comfortable seats. We have good fellowship, you know, some of the greatest people around you're sitting beside of, and we just, you know, we're really thankful for what God is doing. We're not in jail. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we're not in the hospital. You know, although we may have some in our congregation that are, and we're praying for them. But, you know, we have much to be thankful for, very much. And I'm just excited this morning, not only about our activities later on and the great food and fellowship, but I'm excited about this message. This series of message, Spirit Walk, It's extremely important to the body of Christ. And today we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And in talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I believe that this is an area that the body of Christ is very weak in, because we do not realize the tools that God has given us to be able to impact the lives of people around us on a daily basis. These gifts have been given to us as weapons to combat the enemy. Galatians tells us if you live in the Spirit, you should also walk in the Spirit. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you know, just saying, "Oh, I live in the Spirit," well, that's awesome. And I've known some people in the past that lived in the Spirit in such a way that they were always in the clouds, if you know what I'm talking about. And that, you know, I don't think you can be in the Spirit too much, but I think we can have our mind clouded sometimes to the point where we feel like we're spiritual when we're not really walking in the Spirit like God has called us to. Walking in the Spirit means that there are several things that's going on in your life. First of all, you are seeking God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's very simple. You're seeking the living God. That's Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Okay? And then he also went on to say, here's something else you do. You love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? So if we're loving our God and our neighbor, we're fulfilling all the commandments that Jesus said, the law and the prophets, everything in the Old Testament. We're being the kind of people that God wants us to be. So if we're doing that, then the character of Christ is showing up in us. And that's awesome. And most churches talk about character. I preach on character. I preach on the character that we should have as believers in Jesus Christ. It's really important that we have this kind of lifestyle that other people can look at and model after our lifestyle. They can see that this is God's will. But we also, not only character, but we also recognize that beyond that, that there's relationship issues that we must deal with. And from the pulpit, we always try to deal with relationship issues. Amen? These things are more fleshly in nature, although everything is spiritual. But it has more to do with our feelings and our emotions, and how we deal with people is about our own personalities and the way Christ wants us to live. So those things are very important. But I want us to have a well-balanced Christian walk. And a well-balanced Christian walk means that you must understand the things that Jesus taught about spirituality, and you must understand the things that Paul taught us about gifts of the Spirit and walking in those gifts. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the difference. I think it was last week. I talked about the difference between what I feel is our spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. Now, biblically, you can't find any difference in the Bible. When it talks about a person having a spiritual gift, you have a spiritual gift. You know, that's just the way it is. But as we look at these things in application, we can see that there's a difference between the laborers or the workers and the tools that we have as laborers in the kingdom of God. Really important. And if we walk in these things, then this kind of stuff, the spiritual walk, these gifts of the Spirit will be evident in our life, and it will produce the kind of fruit that Galatians tells us is important. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, peace, fruit. We're to be, I hate to say this, but we're to be fruity people. Amen? We really are. Now, not nuts and fruits, just fruits, okay? So it's important that we can walk in this and understand. I was looking at a story about a young man that there was a fruit tree outside of his window, and his dad one day said, you know, I'm going to cut that old fruit tree down because it hasn't produced any fruit for years. And the boy, he kind of freaked out because when his dad would send him to his room, he would use that fruit tree to sneak out the window. So he didn't want that. So he started thinking about it, and late that night, he got his friend, and they went out. They had had a bushel of apples, and they took some string and tied apples all over the tree. The next morning, the dad got up and said, wow, look, Ethel. The apple or the tree has produced fruit for the first time in years. And now the dad was wise to what was going on. And he said, you know, the interesting thing is, those are apples and that's a peach tree. Fruit, producing proper fruit, is extremely important in our life. Yes, we want the fruit of the Spirit, but we also want the gifts of the Spirit. We want to see them operate here in the church. We want to see them operate in our life out there so that we have what Jesus called an abundant life. An abundant life, and when that word abundance, parasos, it means to be more, have more than enough, overflowing, superfluous, a bunch. I keep telling you this because I want to drive it home. I want you to catch this, how important it is. In reality, it also means special advantage. I like that. Because what God has given us is special advantage to walk this walk. Every one of us has special advantage. Christ is our Savior. What else could we have? Abundant living. Abundant living. All right, last time I shared some scriptures with you. Primary scriptures for spiritual gifts are, you can put that up there. Appreciate it. There you go. And then there's another one. Okay. I think some of you took pictures of that last time so that you would know the primary scriptures for spiritual gifts. Now, here's what I want you to understand, these gifts are not intended to create competition in the body of Christ. These gifts are intended for cooperation. I shared this with you last week. I want to make sure everybody understands. None of the gifts are more important than the others. Paul said, seek after the special gifts or the most important gifts. But that's not what he was talking about, that there are more important gifts than other gifts. He was saying, seek after the gift that is most important for your situation at that time so that you will be able to meet the need of whoever you're ministering to, or your need will be met. You know, and I gave some analogies of these things, how important it is for us to have as a preacher, a pastor. I need to be able to have a gift of sharing the Word of God and being able to expound on the Word so it becomes life to you. That's an important gift. But if some demon-possessed, crazed person runs up the middle of the aisle and needs deliverance, my preaching is not going to do me any good. I can't preach a demon out of them. I must cast it out. I must have discernment and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to walk in those gifts, in whatever that gift might be that I need for the particular purpose, the situation. And the Word of God said He manifests and distributes gifts. The Holy Spirit, our Holy Spirit manifests and distributes gifts at His will. Holy Spirit is in control of gifts. Amen? That doesn't mean that you cannot allow the gift to come to life in you and have a gift more prominent in your life. Absolutely, yes. But it's the Holy Spirit that is in control. Holy Spirit is the gift. It's not these things that we're going to be talking about. Holy Spirit is the gift. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the most important gift that we can have. You're not going to have any of these things in your life without Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit rises up inside of us. All right, we've talked about three different spiritual gifts. The difference between spiritual gifts, I'm sorry. We talked about the difference between spiritual gifts, which I explained, and gifts of the Spirit. Now, this is... I want to make sure that we're all on the same page and we're understanding. I compared them to construction workers because I have a construction background. And there are different trades in the unions, laborers, carpenters, electricians, millwrights, masons, pipe fitters, you know, many, many different trades. And each of those trades have specific tools, and they have to have specific tools to do their job. Okay, the laborers, the trades are spiritual gifts. Okay, we all in the body of Christ will find there's all kinds of spiritual gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, laborers, helps. In fact, I think we have a list. I may be getting offline. Yeah, here we go. There's a list that you can find in the Scripture. From those scriptures that I just shared with you, in New Testament and Old Testament, a list of the laborers or the tradesmen. All right, then there's what we'll be talking about this morning, what I label as gifts of the Spirit, because I wanted to differentiate between the two. And the gifts of the Spirit are extremely important to be in operation. Now, everybody's okay with these, but when you start talking about gifts of the Spirit, some people freak out. Some people get tense, especially when you talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues, because we all know that's of the devil, right? No? Well, that's what I've been told. Tongues and interpretation of tongues is of the devil. Huh. That's pretty strange. I was told that most of my life. And then I started reading the Bible. And when I started reading the Bible, I found out that the apostles, disciples of Jesus, excuse me, in the book of Acts, spoke in tongues. And then I found out that Paul taught that there is a gift, a prayer language. I found out that there is a gift of tongues, an interpretation of tongues that's supposed to operate in the body of Christ, where someone gives a tongue, an unknown tongue. You don't know the language, but it is interpreted. Okay? It's an interpretation that comes. So we have two different people. Sometimes the same person will give a tongue, an interpretation. And it's to be in operation in the church. And that's the scripture that I'm going to read to you this morning. It's going to, we need to understand that Paul is giving the Corinthian church guidelines for the operations of the gift in the church. Now, it doesn't mean they shouldn't operate outside the church. Absolutely, they should. But he's giving them guidelines for a proper worship service. That's why it's so important that we recognize. The Corinthian church was out of control. And Paul said, I want to bring some order back to this church. Here's the way you do it. This is the way things must be done. Okay. All right, I don't want to belabor this whole situation, but I do want to make sure that we have an understanding. Let me make another analogy of this. We have some, in this church, we have some awesome musicians. Amen? Y'all agree with me? I mean, these guys, they're top-notch. They're professional. Amen? I appreciate Pastor Otis and Pastor Ivy and the ministry of worship that we have. It's awesome. But the without the proper musicians, we wouldn't be able to accomplish that. However, the musicians would be nothing if they just came up here on the stage and stood up here and twiddled their thumbs, right? Amen? They need instruments. They have to have good instruments, proper instruments. These guys make sure they have the best instrument that they can have. And they need a good sound system. We have the best sound system around. We have good stuff. We have good equipment. So these laborers who are willing to be musicians for the body of Christ, they come in here and they bring tools. So that as the laborers, that's their spiritual gift. But they have to have the tools to be able to do the job properly. And they do it in a quality way. That's what I'm comparing spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. I want you to have an understanding of this. All right, here we go. This morning, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. If you'll turn there, go there on your device, your phone, if you happen to be old school like me, in your Bible. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 12. I may understand this is one of the most controversial scripture in the Bible. My goodness, when you start talking about these things and the operation of these gifts, you're going to get a lot of opposition. But it's okay, you know? Jesus got a lot of opposition, so I feel like that I'm in pretty good company. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I love that. That's a good place to start. Concerning these things that he's going to be talking about, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, what is ignorance? Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. It's not stupidity. So let's make sure we understand what we're saying here. It's a lack of knowledge. So Paul is saying, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things, so I'm going to share with you how these things should operate. You're going to have to excuse me a minute. And once I do, then you'll no longer be ignorant. Amen? So if you're, then you're not ignorant any longer. Now, this is going to sound kind of harsh, but it's reality. If you're no longer ignorant and you know the operation of these gifts, then if you choose not to participate in it, then you're stupid. Right? I mean, you just refuse to accept what God says. So that creates a problem in your life. So I want you to no longer be ignorant. And I know all of you out there, Think I know you all well enough? You're not going to be stupid. Amen?
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah. Lighten up a little bit, okay? I'm not being mean. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. And he's talking to the Corinthians who were idol worshipers. But basically, he's speaking to us, Gentiles, who prior to Jesus Christ, we had a certain lifestyle, a carnal lifestyle, a lifestyle that did not glorify Jesus Christ. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. Wow. Amen. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. This is God's will. He works it all out. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Once again, I want to touch on this. It's the manifestation of Holy Spirit when these gifts, what we call gifts, are in operation. And it's for the profit of everyone who's involved. Everyone in a service. It's for the profit of somebody out there that you might minister to. When you operate in one of these gifts are incredible. I can't say it enough. These gifts give you special advantage in the marketplace, in your life, in your family, in everything you do. For to one person, given the word of wisdom. To the Spirit, to another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. This is God's will, make no mistake about it. He desires these gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. All right, so I hope that we have an understanding that in operation there is a total difference between the laborer, the workers, and all that list of people that are gifted in the body of Christ, and these tools that we have that is available to every believer in this room. They're available to you. Now, what we're going to do for ease of understanding and memorization, we're going to put these gifts in three categories. They're not listed here in these categories, but we're going to put them in these categories because it just helps us to understand, and they are similar in operation. So first of all, this is what we're going to talk about today. That is the gifts, revelation gifts. Revelation gifts is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Okay, these three things are, we put them in the category of revelation because they reveal something to us, something that we wouldn't know other than by Holy Spirit revealing it through one of these gifts, okay? The second category is power gifts, is faith, healing, and miracles. And these gifts probably have been the most prominent gifts in the body of Christ, particularly in the charismatic churches, faith, healing, and miracles. We've had lots of teachings on faith. However, faith that you, when you place faith in God's word and trust God that what He says is true, is not necessarily the gift of faith. The gift of faith, if the gift of faith comes upon you, and I'm probably getting way ahead of myself with this, but if the gift of faith comes upon you, you know that you know that you know by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Okay? It's not something that you're just applying your knowledge of the Word of God to trust. It's a gift. You just know it. Okay, so faith, healing, you know, there's been lots of healing ministries. You know, the people who believe in it, preachers who do, they've been called faith healers. You know, and some derogatory words have been used about them as well. But the reality is they're just trusting God's word when they believe that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But these gifts, this operation is supernatural. Miracles, supernatural. Now the last category, vocal gifts. And these are probably the most controversial in the body of Christ. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And even prophecy these days comes under fire because we believe that here in this church. You've seen it in operation through different people, particularly Pastor Otis and Ivy. The prophetic gifting that is in their life, and they operate in being able to share. Sometimes what they're sharing is not prophecy as much as it is words of wisdom, words of knowledge. But because of the gifts that they have, they allow and enable Holy Spirit to use them in those things. And many people in here have been used in this prophecy. Okay. So as we look at this, we understand that we're doing this not from necessarily a biblical perspective, but this is a human way of understanding these gifts and trying to get to a place where we can, you know, oh yeah, revelation gifts. I know that. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. I can operate in those today, right now, when I need them. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. All right, let's look at the revelation gifts. Amen. The enemy's not going to stop this teaching. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And then verse 10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. So the three that we're looking at today is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, a word of wisdom, we're going to look at it. The Greek word here is logos, for word, and it's the same word or the same logos or logos, however you want to pronounce it, that in John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It's talking about the spoken word of God. It's also talking about the living word of God, Jesus, who walked on the face of the earth, because he lived out God's word and proclaimed it. So the word here means uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or an idea. So Jesus was a conception of what God is like. That's why he came and walked on the face of the earth. Wisdom is the Greek word sophia, and wisdom is broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. Now, there are many different definitions of the Greek word sophia, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance. But let me give you a couple that apply to what we're doing. First of all, these definitions are a mixture of acquired wisdom and spiritual wisdom. Supernatural wisdom. The acquired wisdom is a varied knowledge of things human and divine, acquired by acuteness and experience, summed up in maxims and proverbs. This is acquired knowledge. We can acquire wisdom from the Word of God. And the Word of God says if you ask, God will give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom to operate your life in a supernatural but yet a natural way that is based on God's Word, wisdom. But the kind of wisdom that we're going to be talking about is not natural intelligence. It's discovering the mysteries of God in a particular situation. It's understanding. Let me give you a definition of the word of wisdom. It gives supernatural insight and direction. That's what the word of wisdom does. Supernatural insight and direction. Okay. Go to the next screen. Okay, that's not the one. I wanted the one that had the scripture on it. Go back. Maybe I was looking at it and I did. Okay. Now, there should be one with a Matthew scripture. See? Let's see if that's the right one that I'm looking for. Okay. Well, for some reason, I've missed the scripture that I was intending to share with you this morning on wisdom, but we're going to move on. The next one is the word of knowledge. And knowledge signifies, in the Greek, gnosis, in general, intelligence, understanding. But the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of information pertaining to a person or an event given or a specific purpose. Let me give you a short definition of this. Word of knowledge reveals certain facts, present or past. Okay, now we'll go to Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father, your mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. All right. Here we see Jesus getting to the root of the problem of the young man. Because he understood, he had knowledge, a supernatural knowledge of what his issue was. And his issue was not so much that he wasn't living the commandments as far as, you know, doing the right things and doing what the Word of God told him to do. His issue was that his riches was more important to him than God. And that becomes evident when in the fact that Jesus says to him, "Go and sell everything you've got and come follow me." And he went away sorrowful. This was a gift that Jesus, what I want you to see is that Jesus operated in all these gifts. In the gifts of the Spirit. This is a gift that is teaching, showing us that Jesus had supernatural knowledge of his situation. Okay, turn with me to John 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Verse 16 through 22. Now, this is the story of the woman at the well. And once again, we're going to see this in operation. And the woman said, well, let me see. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, okay, let's stop right there. This is a good scripture for a word of wisdom. Jesus had wisdom. God gave him the wisdom to know that he needed to go to Samaria. It doesn't tell us that he understood exactly what he was supposed to do there, but he was given a word of wisdom in order to know that he had to go to Samaria for a purpose. And he says that he needed to go there. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." This is a long history of issues between the Jews and the Samaritans. It goes all the way back to Nehemiah when some of the Jews intermarried with the Samaritans, and they were not allowed to be a part of temple worship. So they disliked, hated each other. But of course, Jesus hated no one. He was there for everyone. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me the water, and I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Okay. Once again, let's look at the definition of a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. A word of wisdom gives us supernatural understanding. It gives us supernatural insight and direction. A word of knowledge gives us or reveals to us certain facts, present or past. And that's what we're looking at here. It was revealed to Jesus certain facts about this woman, present and fact and past. He knew that she had many husbands. He knew that she was living with this woman or this man. Today it might apply to this woman. Living with this man that wasn't her husband, because he had these gifts in operation in his life. Why? Because he had Holy Spirit living in him. This is very important that we recognize that Jesus did this, therefore we can do it. Why? Because Jesus said, "The things that I do, you will do even greater." Amen? And he's not talking about, quantity. Because, there's so many more of us. No, the word that is used there for "you will do even greater" means quality of gifts. you will do even greater quality of gifts than I have done. Hallelujah. All right. The last one that we're looking at this morning is discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability to detect the realm of the spirit world and activities. Let me give you a condensed version of this. Discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability to discern good and evil spirits and human motives. Now, we don't want to discount that one because that is very important. Human motives. Because we interact with humans most of the time. You know? So we're going to look at this. Discerning of spirits. Okay, there's three things that happen in discerning of spirits. First of all, well, let's look at this scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 32. If you'll turn there with me, and then we'll talk about this. Luke chapter 2. Now, as you can see in this definition, it says that we can identify good spirits, evil spirits, and the motives of humans. So let's look at scripture that shows us that we can identify the presence of good or the power of God. And it's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, verse 32. Jesus, as a baby, is brought to this gentleman who brought into the temple to be circumcised, and a man is there who has been worshiping God, fasting, praying, and seeking God, and God spoke to him and said, "You will see the Christ before you pass away." This was an elderly man. Now, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jesus to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the appearance of the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." This is an example of him being able to discern the spirit that was coming in to the temple that day. The Spirit of God, the living God, was present, and he was able to discern that. In the Old Testament, we have an example of discerning of spirits. Probably one of the most popular is Elisha and his servant when the Assyrians came to take Elisha, because Elisha had been telling the Hebrews what the king was planning in his council, his war room, and where to go and how to avoid the Assyrians. And what happens is that he sends the army, and when the army shows up, Elisha's servant sees this great army, and all he can see is in the natural. And he sees this great army coming up against him. And he runs to Elisha and he says, "Master, we're in big trouble. There's a great army out there to take us." And of course, Elisha, not, you know, being in the spirit and recognizing the spirit realm, didn't have to see that God was on his side. He just knew God was there. And he was able to discern that there was angels all around him. And he told him, look, there's more with us than against us. But so that you can understand this, I'm going to ask God to open your eyes. And he did, and he saw the fire angels, the chariots of God that was protecting them. This was this gave in the natural Gehazi got to his servant got to see it in the spirit. Elisha already knew it was there. He discerned that the spirit was there. Amen. Okay. We need to identify demons and demonic activity, and I could give you all kinds of scriptures on that. The ability to identify the presence of demons, demonic activity. Let's just read this one, Matthew 22:32-33. And they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. However, this was never seen like this in Israel. I don't have verse 33. And I'm not going to turn there right now, but I want you to see that Jesus cast out this demonic force because he recognized what it was. In Matthew 17:21, Jesus in the chapter 17, Jesus is coming back from prayer, and his disciples have tried to cast out a demonic force that's in a boy, and they couldn't accomplish it. And remember, these men had walked with Jesus. Jesus gave them power to cast out devils. They went out, 70 of them went out and cast out devils and preached the kingdom of God was at hand. So they were not new to this. However, this particular demon was a little difficult. And they asked Jesus after he cast out the demon, why couldn't we do this? And first of all, he said, well, your faith wasn't strong enough. But he also said, here's something you need to do. This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus had a knowledge of demonic forces that they did not have because they didn't have Holy Spirit at that time living in them. So what happened here was Jesus identified a spirit, a certain type of spirit. And if Jesus can identify certain types of spirits, we can identify certain types of spirits. However, Jesus makes it very clear there's some spiritual discipline that needs to take place in our lives. Prayer and fasting needs to be a part of what we do. If we want to be able to identify these things, we must get our spirit in line with the working of Holy Spirit in our life. Okay, and the last one is we can identify the motives of men. John chapter 1, verse 47 and 48. Jesus is talking about Nathanael here. Nathanael becomes one of his disciples. And he's talking to him. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite, indeed in him in whom is no deceit. Now, Nathanael was very skeptical that Jesus was the Messiah. So Jesus operated in the ability to discern spirits. Human, in this case, in a human spirit. And he said what to Nathanael? He said, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. How did Jesus know this? Because he could discern his spirit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. The gift, this particular gift, if we will allow it to operate in our lives, will save us much heartache and grief. Because I want you to understand, even in the church, there's con men. It will take advantage of you. There's people. I've learned this the hard way. There's people sometimes that come in amongst us that are wolves looking for opportunities to devour sheep. They will do whatever they can to divide and conquer. And we need to be able to identify their human spirit. Is it of God or is it of man and man's desires? Many years ago, when we were first building this church, it was an exciting time. We were having church at Chester. And we were preparing everything for this church. And I can't remember exactly the details, but I had we had a couple that started coming to the church. And the guy came to me one day and he said, "You know, Pastor, I can get you some carpet for your sanctuary." I don't know whether it was the sanctuary or something we were doing at Chester. But anyhow, he said, "I can get this for you, and he gave me a price that was just, you know, it was incredible. How many know that when it sounds too good to be true, it's usually too good to be true? Amen. But, you know, I here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand. He was a likable person. He appeared to be living Christian principles in his life. He had Christian character. It appeared that way to me. And in the natural, I did not discern any issue with him. However, when he presented this to me and said, "I can get this carpet for you," the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me and said, "No, don't do that." I couldn't understand it. Why? You know, this is great, God. You know, we might save a lot of money. He said, "No, don't do it." So I wrestled with it, of course, you know. And yeah, finally, I'm a little hard-headed sometimes. Holy Spirit has to beat me over the head. But I finally came to the conclusion that Holy Spirit was right, and he was a lot smarter than I am. So I didn't do it. Years later, well, wasn't a lot of time later, just probably within that same year, actually, they left the church, and I found out that same person had conned many, many people in our area and other places. He had taken advantage of people. He would say he was going to do this. He'd collect money and then never do what he said he was going to do. I thank God. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot smarter than me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Discerning human spirits is very important. Very, very important. Discerning evil spirits is important. Discerning the presence of God is important. These gifts and operation in our life should be here in this place. And I see them operating. Praise God. Sometimes you operate in them, you don't even know what you're operating in. Hallelujah. That's okay. But that's the purpose of this teaching. I want you to come to the realization that what you're doing is godly. It's what He wants. He wants it to operate here. But more important, He wants us to be able to take it out there and in the mission field so that people's lives can be touched in a supernatural way. And lives can be altered and changed. And people can say, like Nathaniel, "How'd you know that? How'd you do it?" Well, it's not me. It's my God. I want you to think about Daniel was, in Old Testament, one of the greatest patriarchs that we talk about. And Daniel was placed in the midst of a pagan society. But when he was in the midst of that pagan society, he learned to operate according to the will of the living God. He would not compromise his convictions. Now, he lived in that society, and there were some things that he had to do that wasn't pleasant for him. And he did them, but as long as it didn't compromise his biblical convictions, his teachings, his Torah convictions, he did it. But when it did, he would take a stand for what was right. When the king said, "You can't pray," he prayed. He prayed 3 times a day, regardless of what the consequences was. And because of his strong convictions, God showed up on his behalf. Over and over and over, he made a difference in the society that he was living in. He and his 3 Hebrew friends, they made a difference. That's what God is desiring for us. that we walk in such a way that these gifts are in operation in our life on a daily basis, and we make a difference in the workplace. We make a difference in our families. We make a difference in our relationships with other people. Jesus is Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He wants to be Lord of your life. Let Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you in everything that you do. Stand with me this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.